Good afternoon. It's 3 p.m. Currently 86 degrees and cloudy on the outside here on the campus of UL Lafayette. 20% chance of showers overnight, and then breezes are turning to the north. Mostly sunny for Wednesday with a high of around 86. Coming up at 4 o'clock, all things considered from NPR News. We're going to start the hour by going straight into the interview studio with Judith Merriweather.
And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Dr. Greg Robat, who is the director of the Performing Arts Academy at Como High School. He's here with cellist Craig Holtgren, who will be giving a concert tomorrow evening in Angel Hall. It is an incredibly rich cultural season right now, and there's so many wonderful things to choose from. And if interesting music and cello in particular are your interest, then you have a real treat tomorrow evening. Greg, you're director of the Performing Arts Academy, and so you work with all kinds of very talented students. So I imagine it's always a joy for you when you get to bring in very talented, very interesting performers into our area that you can offer for your students as examples.
Yeah, sure. One of the most important things for young and developing artists is to see sort of the final stage. What does a professional artist do? How do they sound? How do they act in front of a group of people? When they're working with the students to see what a professional work environment is for the arts. So they're used to seeing a professional work environment, say, if they're at a fast food restaurant or if their dad works in the oil field, they know how that works. But professional music and arts, what's that profession like? How does it go about when you're teaching? How do you act, et cetera?
And I believe before we went on the air, Craig mentioned that you all met in Alabama. Were you working together and are... Craig, how did you encounter Greg?
I met Greg in 2003 as he was working on his doctorate in composition at the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa. And indeed, one of the pieces I'm programming here in my visit to Lafayette is a piece of his called Gestures that I learned way back then. And he's gone on and continued his writing, and I have continued to play. And
so we have a lot of talent here, composer, performers. What is your instrument, Greg?
Classical and electric guitar.
All right. So that's going to be a theme here. I think Craig has an interest in electric, his instrument, the cello.
Yeah, I work with composers, living composers. Mm-hmm. And there are very many facets to working with the people who are alive and writing today. One of them is electronics. And in that regard, I, on the program tomorrow night, will be playing not only my 200-year-old Italian instrument that I have with me, but also an electric cello, an instrument without a body, without any sound unless you plug it in. And in that regard, the electronics will include computer music, guitar pedals, interactive software programs, and recorded sound files.
Well, let's explore just a little bit how you came to have an interest in this very contemporary, very experimental electronic music. Your cello looks extremely traditional, the one you have here in our studio. It's not the one that has electric currents running through it. But you were playing with the symphony in Alabama for a long time. Where did you develop your love of contemporary music and particularly your attraction towards very contemporary composers for cello?
One can never underestimate the value of one's education. And it started for me when I was an undergraduate at the University of Iowa that has a fantastic, or at that time did have a fantastic contemporary music ensemble and multiple composers working and teaching there. And that was my first immersion into contemporary music. And at first, as an undergraduate, I said, my gosh, what is this sound? And I hadn't heard a lot of these things, and I had no reference for it. But the seed was planted. Then when I went on and eventually got a professional orchestra job in the Alabama Symphony, I felt a little bit stifled as the years went by, and I came across in Birmingham a sect of radical freestyle improvisers, people who would play instruments that maybe they didn't know how to read music, but they were very creative and would make all sorts of unusual sounds, and I found that I had a nice ability to create such unusual sounds myself on the cello. And that, you know, and that it occurred to me then that wouldn't it be great if we could take some of these radical, non-traditional sounds out of the improvisation and start to incorporate that into composers' works? And since that time, I've sort of opened up my energies, and I have some 200 works that have been written for me. And what I do is try to give voice to our living composers. It's a valuable thing for them. Many times, contemporary music is a little misunderstood. Sometimes it's difficult to hear. Sometimes it requires close attention to get it, so to speak. Sometimes not, but that's one of my goals, and I give voice to the music of our time.
That's a lovely way to put that, and I can imagine composers like yourself, Greg, really appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, we can't do anything without performers, and it's, you know, it's kind of difficult when you write contemporary music unless you find a champion to sort of be your voice. The music is often rhythmically challenging. It's technically demanding. It's high work, low reward kind of music in the terms of, you know, people go to the symphony to hear Beethoven because they know what Beethoven's going to sound like and they're used to it. It doesn't challenge any of their norms or their values or what they expect. It sounds pretty. They've heard it on television. They've heard it in movies. And then with contemporary music, they're walking into an environment and where they don't know exactly what they're going to hear. It doesn't follow the norms they're accustomed to. And because of that radical difference, they're not used to it. So they have to find a way towards it. And things like Spotify and radio programs always tell you, like, hey, you like this song? Well, here's another song like it that you will like. And so to get an audience to, you know, sort of go away from the norm and take a chance on listening to stuff that they've never heard before, to be sort of educated or just feel this new sort of feeling that they don't have a word for, is difficult. And champions like Craig Holgren for cello make our voice heard.
Cello champion. That's a great title. If you are just tuning in, my guests are Dr. Greg Robin. Again, he is the director of performing arts, the Performing Arts Academy here in Lafayette Parish, and cellist Craig Holtgren, champion for composers, contemporary composers. So, Greg, did you write this piece particularly for Craig to perform, the one he'll be doing tomorrow evening?
Slightly. I was working on I consider this my first mature work, so anything before this piece I kind of threw away in a fit of anger, sort of like, this is juvenile music.
Temperamental artist.
Right, temperamental artist. And so I was working on it right before Composer Symposium, and my teacher, Dr. Craig First at the time, said, well, look, we've got this great cellist in Alabama, so just kind of write what you want. He can play anything. And you know, if he's available, we'll get him to play it. And it just happened to be that I finished the piece right before this Southeastern Composers Conference was going to go on. He was already coming in town to play a bunch of new music, and he just said, sure, I'll tackle this thing a couple of days, maybe a week before the show, maybe. And I sent him this file, and I don't want to speculate what he might have said when he saw it the first time. But he had to learn it very quickly, and he did a great job, so...
Well, I'm really glad you all are making this point about musicians having to give voice to composers, because you can't run around just waving your sheet music and saying, look at this, look at this. Nothing happens there. It has to be translated and given voice to.
Right, and so, like, you know, Beethoven was a conductor, or Mozart, so he had an orchestra. Gustav Mahler had an orchestra that he had full control over, so he could write his music, have his orchestra play it, could hear it, make revisions, and so forth. Orchestra music hasn't gone the route that a lot of modern music has gone because of the concert hall aesthetic. So we really do have to go find people and say, hey, check this out. It's very contemporary. It pushes a lot of bounds. It's very difficult. Would you give me a voice?
And not just any musician, someone who has a really good handle on your sensibility, what you're trying to say, and also who plays the instrument that you're hoping will interpret that piece as well. So, Craig, what has it been like being the voice for so many different composers? What has that done to you as a musician?
Well, I think it's liberated me. Mm. It's challenged me. Mm-hmm. It's vexed me. I enjoy it. Sometimes you just don't know exactly how it's going to turn out. And when I say that, I mean not only my own, you know, individual performance, but how it's going to turn out in the real concert hall in real air, where you're having to move the molecules in a large room. And sometimes you just don't know what the impact is. And, you know, sometimes I'm surprised when people come and say, I really liked that piece. And I say, oh, did you? Gosh, I didn't think you would. But, you know, maybe the best thing I can say is that, you know, a lot of what I do, I hope is provocative in that it promotes discussion and thought.
And moves the molecules in the right way.
Right,
great
right,
image.
Right. Well, that's what sound is. It's vibrating air. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially in contemporary music, there are so many different ways to articulate the sound on the instrument, mm-hmm. that you really are moving the air in radically different ways, mm-hmm. than maybe Bach or Beethoven or Mozart did.
Well, or even other contemporary musicians. I guess earlier, trying to get a sense of how you sound, I asked if you're a bit like a cellist. I had heard Zoe Keating, and your immediate response was a little more astringent. And some people might listen to Zoe Keating and find her on the edge of...
Zoe does a lot of overlay, mm-hmm, and looping, yeah. And I play plenty of those kinds of pieces, mm-hmm. And she has a little bit more mellow aesthetic, and yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. I'm a little bit more of a rough and tumble player. I like to mix it up. You know, I maybe play a little bit more ugly, and maybe that's the characteristic of my playing is mm-hmm. Sort of rough.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that I can't play smoothly, but that's.
Well, if that's your predilection, I think playing the cello is a really good instrument, because I feel that it can take that roughness. And, you know, the cello has such this big, warm sound that when you veer on the edge of roughness, it...
Well, you know, the cello has, you know, 300-year history, mm-hmm. and it's steeped in the canon of traditional technique. But its long string length makes it a... really potent device for the modern music, where we get the string to vibrate maybe just a little bit differently than you would if you were playing a Bach suite or a Beethoven sonata.
Mm-hmm. Well, tomorrow evening you will be playing a piece by my guest, Dr. Greg Robin.
Mm-hmm.
What else will you perform tomorrow evening?
Well, I will be presenting mostly works written for me. The program will conclude by an Iowa composer. His name is Brooke Joyce. He wrote a marvelous work called Wondrous Love, which is based on a very famous hymn. And we actually hear shape note singers from the 1942 Alabama Shape Note Singing Convention in recording. And he uses that as a point of departure for his compositional musings. It is a very evocative piece. I'll be playing a political piece called Incendiary Rhetoric. That's by another Iowa composer, Alan Schmitz. He was formerly head of the graduate department at the University of Iowa and now living in Houston. I will be playing... one of my own unique improvisations. And those are, well, I guess the best word is unique.
Well, you know, you had mentioned, too, that Zoe Keating is from Iowa or lives in Iowa. So is that a hotbed of contemporary cello?
Well, you know, Zoe now lives out in the Bay Area.
Oh, well, you've spread out. Yeah. Okay. But it seems to have inspired a lot of people.
Well, here you go. And I say this to you. And to the listeners, Iowa has a great public school music program and has produced many, many wonderful musicians and still does. Mm. And, you know, I'm, you know, maybe a little part of that. But, you know, I grew up, you know, going to public schools, and in junior high we had orchestra. And I started taking lessons then, and kept getting better, and turned into a musician.
What a great testament. And I know that Lafayette Parish also has a wonderful music program in the public schools, and that will be a great inspiration to both the teachers in that program and the students who may come to hear you tomorrow night.
You know, I was there at the academy this afternoon and this morning, listening and working and talking with the students there. Yeah, it's great to see. You know, music is a great thing.
Yeah.
It's healthy. It is social. It provides coordination. It provides intellect and insight.
You need me write that down, Dr. Greg Robin. Pass that on to your students.
Put it in the noggin.
Yeah. Now, you have some music in front of you. Is this Greg's piece that you'll be playing from?
Yeah, I'm going to play an excerpt, okay. The opening of a work titled Gestures. Now, this is an atonal work, in that it has no tonal center. It is based upon intervals and sets of notes that are strung together, not by key, but in series. And it features some interesting sound colors, what in music we call timbre. Mm. And it's an engaging work. It is difficult. It explores the extreme ranges of the instrument. And when we go high on a stringed instrument, we have to earn our stripes because the notes are close together up there.
Right. Well, I want to let people know that you'll be hearing cellist Craig Holtgren giving voice to Greg Robin's composition. And he will be playing that tomorrow evening in Angel Hall on the UL campus, along with some other compositions by himself and others. That will be at 7:30 in Angel Hall. You've left us on the edge of our seats. We want to hear more.
Well, you can come to the concert on Wednesday at Angel Hall to see how that turns out.
That was pretty extraordinary.
Well, thank
you.
Does
it feel for you, Greg, to be hearing that?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, being a composer is very, very strange. I guess it's like being an actor where you don't want to see your movie. As a composer, you want to hear your voice. But at the same time, I think I'm almost as nervous as a listener of my own music as I am a performer. And so usually when I go hear my music played, I think I'm more nervous than the person playing it. Because it's, I guess it's like putting your child out in the open. And you know, a lot of times with modern music, I wouldn't say my music is necessarily astringent, but it definitely is evocative or provocative. And definitely there isn't a lot of time to sit down in your seat. It's a constant roller coaster. And so, yeah.
Hmm. Well, I think astringent, he was just describing himself.
Sure.
Not
right. Well, that's fine, you know.
His own playing. But, you know, I think sometimes when we hear just an excerpt, I think for a number of people listening right now, that it might feel a little strange. But if you think about, and you did mention movies, television shows, cello is used a lot in for color and timbre and emotion in scores. And I think we've heard a very interesting experimental cello more than we think we have.
Yeah, actually, there's a whole cadre of people like Zoe Keating and others who are now creating entire soundtracks on the cello and looping and recording of its sound. That, you know, the cello, it traditionally has the role of a low chordal voice in traditional music writing. You know, the prototypical characteristic of the cello is, as you say, mellow, beautiful, laid back. And, you know, for sure it is, and has served that that function well. I try to push the boundary a little bit. And in that respect, you know, music is sometimes like science in that, you know, the goal is to make some discoveries and maybe end up someplace where you had no idea you would end up at.
That's actually a perfect metaphor because the Assistant Dean of Sciences is coming next to talk about Science Day.
There we have it. Well, we'll walk in and out of the same door.
Well, maybe we'll have quite a number of young scientists who will come and listen to your concert and hear how the molecules get moved around in the air as you move your bow over that cello. If you are just tuning in and wondering what those wondrous sounds were, my guests are Dr. Greg Robin, director of the Performing Arts Academy in Lafayette Parish, and cellist Craig Hultgren, who has taken as his mission giving voice to young composers like Greg, who compose contemporary music and need that voice.
Thank you for calling me young. I appreciate it.
So you will be performing solo tomorrow, except with your whatever
electronics. You know, in a certain respect, you know, we know solo cello so well through the suites of Johann Sebastian Bach.
Absolutely.
And
which also sounds somewhat contemporary sometimes, don't they?
It can, and there's been all sorts of manner of rendition and presentation of the Bach suites. When you think about it, you know, a cello is a large box with four strings stretched over it. That's a rather minimal concept, you know, considering when you listen to an orchestra, you have ranks of string players and families of winds and blocks of brass. I think solo cello music is a wonderfully informative device for both the listener and for the composer to make something real happen on these four strings. And the electronics help as far as progression from one piece in the concert to the next because it changes up the nature of the sound. And, of course, you always hear each composer's highly unique individual voice.
Well, you've given us some lovely things to think about, but just as some parting thoughts for people who still might feel that would be a bit opaque for them, how would you encourage people to listen when they come to the concert tomorrow evening if this is not something they listen to regularly, contemporary music or contemporary cello?
Some of it will be sound for its own sake. Like being in a room that's quiet and then a pencil drops on the table and you say, oh, a little ripple of water in a calm pond. Some of it is visceral and that you'll feel it. I will be doing one piece by a New York composer, David Morneau, which is absolute New York dance music. And it's got a beat and humor to it. You know, very, very, very modal contemporary. Let's see, I will be doing a work called Unlearn, which is a really unique work where I use guitar pedals to change, once again, the color of the vibrations of the air. And some, you know, so I'll be using a delay pedal and some reverberation on my electric instrument and change up and interact with a sound file of recording that is also me playing. And then we get into the question of, is it Memorex or is it real? And so there's any number of ways to listen, whether it be intelligently, listening by the seat of one's pants and saying, oh, what's that sound? Or from an informed musician standpoint, well, geez, exactly what does that look like on the page? Let me see if I can imagine. Or, you know, just in a distracted fashion as to what it reminded one of when they went to see the latest horror movie.
Well, you have given us an incredible range of possibilities for tomorrow evening. Thank you for this marvelous opportunity for Dr. Greg Robin, bringing you here for your mission in life and trying to offer composers opportunities for their music and for all of us to hear this music as well and experience those moving molecules. That's tomorrow evening, 7:30 in Angel Hall. That will be in the main auditorium.
Correct.
More room for the molecules to move in that hall. It's a lovely hall for listening to a solo concert like that. All are invited to attend. You can find out more on the School of Music website, I believe.
Yes.
It's posted there right now. And a great opportunity for young musicians, anyone who likes music, and anyone who likes science, too.
I think so. Thank you so much, Judith.
Thank you for coming. Musician Craig Holtgren and Dr. Greg Robin.